The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Drew Brees will be the Saints' starting quarterback Sunday versus the Kansas City Chiefs. The Saints believe he's fully healthy and doctors have cleared him to play. Now, I was asked, the way we do it on First Take, we start getting these topics together the night before, because a lot of the work behind the scenes in First Take is finding out where Stephen A. and I disagree. You know, like, people come up to me, ask me a lot, like, wait, do you guys really disagree? Yeah, and it seems unlikely. Like, well, how is it that you disagree on everything? It's not that. In fact, we agree on most stuff. The real work is finding out where you disagree. Keep asking questions till you find out where you disagree. And I was asked last night, should they start Drew Brees? I said no. But when the news broke that they actually are going to start him, because I had my mind just, I was thinking, like, all these cracked ribs and the lung and the whole punctured lung and 11 cracked ribs, whatever it was, fractured ribs. Just let the guy heal up and he'll still have a couple games to get ready for the playoffs. But when they announced that he was going to start, I said, okay, he checked out. And that changed my mind. It changed my mind that he checked out. Yep, start him. Start him against the Chiefs. And I'll tell you why. First of all, I thought Jameis Winston gave the Chiefs a better chance to win than Taysom Hill. And I believe Taysom Hill's better than Jameis Winston. And better for this Saints team than Jameis Winston. But if you want to beat the Chiefs, it's going to be a high-scoring game. You're not going to clock manage. You're not going to, you know, time of possession, ball control them to defeat. And that would be more Taysom Hill. Jameis at least gives you a puncher's chance. His kind of moxie may hasten your demise. Probably it will. I mean, Chiefs would be likely to beat the Saints with Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston. But maybe with Taysom Hill, they lose in a more kind of grinding game that seems like they can win, but they actually lose. And with Jameis Winston, maybe they lose bigger, but I think they have a better chance to win because he'll take those shots down the field. But neither one of them give you as good a chance to win as Drew Brees. Especially not a Drew Brees where, folks, this looks like the swan song. He was thinking about retiring last year. Remember? We had a coach. Sean Payton was on First Take during this, you know, show before the Super Bowl, telling us, no, Taysom Hill's our quarterback of the future. I was thinking, is he doing one of these coach things where he puts that out there for some reason? But what reason could he have? Teddy Bridgewater's out the door. He's getting too expensive. Why would he need to spin that? And he meant it. Had the courage of his convictions. Played Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill played pretty well. He did. But Drew Brees, knowing that this could be it, knowing one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, that this team and the defense of the Saints over the last, until last week, they had about a month run where they had the best defense in football. And that includes the Rams and the Bears and everyone. He's got to be looking, Brees, at this team saying, this team with this defense, and I mentioned the Quan Alexander trade, the linebacker from San Francisco, who's a good player. They got him because San Francisco was going to owe him a lot of money, and they obviously weren't going anywhere this year. So the defense is real good, but he finally got a number two receiver in Emmanuel Sanders, and really hasn't had him all year because of COVID, and Michael Thomas missed a few games, and now Drew Brees has his whole squad back, both sides of the ball, basically. There are always injuries in football, but he has a full complement of weapons on both sides of the ball, and this could be it. And why is this game so big? Well, it could be a Super Bowl preview, but also, the Saints don't have the NFC locked up. There's seven teams per conference this year. Only one gets the bye. So number one, the Saints would like that bye in the first round, and the Packers are nipping at their heels, and Aaron Rodgers is playing the best quarterback in the world right now, including Mahomes, by a very little bit. But more than that, we all know, everyone knows who plays fantasy football. If Drew Brees is playing at home, draft Drew Brees as your quarterback if you get a good price on him. He lights it up in the dome. But on the road, a little bit different. And you understand why, because, you know, at home, not only do you have your fans, not this year so much, but you have a climate-controlled environment, right? So that is better than, you know, wind or whatever. But that'd be one thing if he had to play on the road. If Drew Brees, so number one, it's the bye, right, in the first round he's playing for. But number two, which makes a huge difference in terms of your chances of winning a Super Bowl. And before I get to the rest of it, let me explain that, why that is. Let's say you're 80% likely to win your first round matchup, right? As a number two seed, let's say, right? And you're 60% likely to win your second round matchup. Well, that's pretty good. You should get to the conference finals, right? To the NFC championship. You know what 8 times 6 is? Real quick. Raj, what's 8 times 6?
Let's see. Hang on. Carry the 1.
Yep.
Carry the 1.
Yep.
It was 8. And then
how many
the
1s are you carrying?
5. Well, I'm going to carry 2. I'm going to carry 2. I'm going to go 48.
8 times 6.
Is it a multiple choice question?
So the point is, you're 80% likely to win that first game. You're 60% likely to win the second. You're feeling good about getting to the NFC Championship game. But guess what your odds are to get there? Under 50-50. You're under 50% likely. You have to multiply the odds. When you get that bye in the first round, if you're 60% likely to win that next game, you go from 48% likely to get to the conference finals, to the NFC Championship, to 60%, right? You're less than likely versus you're less likely than not to make it versus you're a bit more likely than not. It's a big deal. But then there's the other thing that I was mentioning. It's one thing to go from climate controlled to wind or something like that. It's another thing to have to play the NFC Championship game on the frozen tundra in January. Like, that is... Who likes the Saints at Packers in the playoffs? I don't. I like the Saints at home against the Packers in the playoffs, maybe. I don't like them in Green Bay. Do you like them in Green Bay? No, New Orleans understands how important this is. That's why they're starting Drew Brees. And when I was asked on the air, do I like the Chiefs or the Saints? I just reflexively always say Chiefs. You know what? I think the Kansas City team is a 2-loss team this year. And when I look at the schedule... You know, because they toy with teams, they let teams in games. This may be a Super Bowl preview. Drew Brees is rested and extremely motivated. The Saints have a lot more to play for right now than the Chiefs because of what I just mentioned. The Saints might upset them. The Saints might upset the Chiefs. And could you imagine what that would set up in a Super Bowl rematch in Drew Brees' last season against the best maybe who ever did it? In that dude's prime? Meantime, Justin Herbert and the Chargers play spoiler to the Raiders. We're going to get into that in a second, but that was Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. Ryan Clark now joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Ryan, is starting Drew Brees the right move?
Hello, you guys got me?
I got you, Ryan. Ryan, is starting Brees
cool,
the right
cool.
move for the Saints?
You know... I don't think you can keep him out, Max, if he's truly healthy and ready to go. This isn't one of those situations where Sean Payton gets to say the coaching, the training staff says you're 100% go. We've watched you practice. You've been able to do everything extremely well. You look like you're back to your old self, but we're not going to play you. Drew Brees has earned the right to play. He deserves to play. He gives his team the best chance to win. And so if you feel like you've checked off all the boxes that say he would play any other week, you know, you can't make this decision because you're playing Kansas City. If Drew Brees checked every box that said he would play week one against the New York Jets, then you let him play. You allow him to go out there and play this game because he gives you the best chance to win. He's your leader. He's your first ballot future Hall of Famer. And, you know, quite frankly, that's what football players do. They battle back from injury. They lead their teams to wins despite adversity. And so this is Drew Brees' opportunity to come back and play. Put your team with a chance to get the number one overall seed. And so I think it's the right call, like I said, if you've done everything the right way.
Well, Ryan, look, you played in the NFL. You won a Super Bowl with the Pittsburgh Steelers. You're an excellent player. And, you know, who am I to disagree with your football opinion? I will mention, however, right around 2005, I won a championship in Madden. Now, it was in GM mode, and I simulated it against the computer. I didn't actually play, but still, I think that puts us on equal footing. I think you would agree. So let me disagree with your football take here for a second. I don't think that the reason you play him is simply because he's healthy, although he must be healthy to play this game. I think the urgency is twofold. One bye in per conference, and the Packers are nipping at the Saints' heels. That's one. And you really want that bye. It really increases your chances to win a Super Bowl. And two, Ryan, it's one thing to say Drew Brees and the Saints play better at home in a climate-controlled situation indoors, right? That would go for anywhere they'd have to travel to play, even without fans. But to go to the frozen tundra in January in the playoffs, that's bad news for the Saints. That's such a swing in their fortunes. The bye plus having to go to Green Bay. I think that's the urgency to win this game against Kansas City.
Oh, no, you're exactly right about the urgency. And I think the other piece of it is obviously Drew Brees feels that urgency as well, Max. Drew Brees understands the difference in between playing those games inside the dome and having to travel to somewhere like Lambeau. I believe on an Instagram Live with the NFL yesterday, Aaron Rodgers talked about it. He said, look, he's like, we haven't had the big snow yet, but we've had flurries. And I think people understand what it's going to be like here late January. And we do. We do get it. Like, listen, I walked out on the field in two AFC championships, bro, and the windshield was below zero. Mm. And you know what? I was dang happy about it because that's who we were. Like, right. We had a quarterback built to play like that. We had a team built to play like that.
Ryan, and that's why real football fans love that, you know? There's something about, like, oh, this fancy passing offense team. But we all know that when the playoffs roll around, boy, you better be rugged enough to play in that cold because you're going to have to go somewhere cold, likely. And when we see that, that's like NFL films and football fans go, yeah, the Steelers or especially the Packers or the Bears or the Giants or one of these old school NFL teams that play in cold weather, that makes you say, okay, that's playoff football.
Well, Max, think about how many times, right, we have these throwbacks of these great playoff games, and you could see the breath coming from the mouth of whether it's the quarterback or the big-time defensive end or linebacker. Like, that's what we associate with the big moments in football. And I think Drew Brees understands that if that becomes the moment, right, if that's the picture we look back on, that pitcher won't have the Saints victorious, that's right. And that's the urgency.
John Facenda wasn't saying, the sun was shining brightly and conditions were perfectly nice. Nah. Hey, Ryan, I want to get through a bunch of topics with you, so let me whip through this. Looks like another year no playoffs for Gruden and the Raiders. They're 1-4 since week 11. Of course, they were 4-12 when he took them over, right? Or they went 4-12 his first year. Their next year, last year, they went 7-9. He inherited a quarterback he didn't necessarily ask for. Although he hasn't played poorly, really, for the most part. And right now they're at 500, and if I had to guess, I guess they'd end 8-8. They seem to be trending in the right direction. What's your feeling about Gruden and the Raiders?
I think you are right, Max. They are trending in the right direction. But when you give a guy 10 years, $100 million, you allow him to trend that way at his own pace. I think they were a little bit ahead of schedule. What we saw early on this season after the second meeting with Kansas City when offensively they looked like a team that could be carried offensively to the playoffs, and now all of a sudden this defense falls apart. Many of the draft picks or the acquisitions made by Mike Mayock and John Gruden aren't panning out defensively, and now this team's on the outside looking in. And so I think if Mark Davis has that patience in Gruden, they can possibly get there eventually. But do they get there with Derek Carr as the quarterback? Or do you start that transition or have that transition and start all over? And so I think what happens the rest of this season and obviously the start of next season is very important for Gruden, because after 3 years in the start of the fourth, if you don't see where this team can be a championship contender, I believe you start to get worried.
What's up with Russell Wilson? Because, like, since Seattle's bye week, Russell Wilson started out as the MVP, right? And he's a sentimental favorite to win it. They were going to give it to him if it was close. He's thrown 17 touchdowns and 9 interceptions, 69% completion rate, and 7.4 yards per attempt. So essentially he went from MVP to average over the past bunch of games. What is it, 8 games now? What do you think's going on with Russell Wilson?
You know, it's crazy. Remember at the beginning of the season, I had basically given him the MVP because I expected that type of play that we saw early on to continue. And now he's almost gone back to the Russell Wilson that was carried by run game and defense. And I can't necessarily say that his teams have caught up with him so much so as they've caught up with the way that they ran offense, caught up with the tendencies and understanding that these are the two or three routes DK Metcalf runs well and can beat you on, and these things are what we have to force him into. Understanding how to keep Russ within the pocket so he doesn't get outside and make those second-chance plays. And we've seen that time and time again. Also, not necessarily the defense has played better now, but having some games where he felt like he had to do too much. And so I think Russ has fallen back to the mean. I think, and not that he's not a great player, Matt, because we've seen him be extremely good every year. I think us continuing to try to push that narrative or force him in to the Aaron Rodgers, right, Patrick Mahomes, that tier conversation is just not a true conversation. It's not.
I agree. He's like Drew Brees level, but as a different kind of player. But he's not Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes. Those guys are differently talented. Although Wilson is an all-time great, he should still be in his prime, but I think that's good analysis. Ryan, we saw the Chargers last night beat the Raiders, and Justin Herbert has probably Adam Gase is the worst head coach in the NFL. I think Anthony Lynn is right behind them, and he's really seems to me to be hurting Justin Herbert's progress, and yet that's why they have a bad one-loss record. And yet, if I had to choose quarterbacks ahead of Justin Herbert, and I'm guessing, right, I'm taking trajectory because Dan Marino won MVP his second year, Mahomes won MVP his second year, his first year starting, and Herbert is getting closer and closer to his second year. He's played most of the first year already. I look at his talent, and people compare him to Dan Marino and Patrick Mahomes. I don't think he's quite as that talented, but the fact that he's even getting compared tells you a lot. And when I think about who I'd take over him in football right now, my honest opinion, like lie detector test, I would tell you I'll take five guys, but I have him six with a bullet. I'll take Mahomes, Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Josh Allen this year. I wouldn't take anyone else ahead of Justin Herbert. Tell me I'm crazy.
I can't. I actually can't tell you you're crazy because it truly depends on your outlook on it. Because to me, I don't think you're saying that right now he's played better or carried his team better to more wins than some of the other quarterbacks in the league. What you're saying is when you look at today going forward, who do you think projects to be better than Justin Herbert? And I think you're absolutely correct. When you look at what this dude can do just from a measurable standpoint, you think about the throw he makes last night very late in that game. He's under pressure. He's getting hit. It's late in overtime. He's able to stand in the pocket, make a big throw down the field when only throwing the ball once in the fourth quarter. This dude has everything. And I actually tweeted last night, like, why in the hell wasn't Oregon better? Like, when you look at this dude looks like a generational talent that never won a national championship.
Yeah, they wouldn't let him throw the ball.
That wasn't at the Heisman finalist. Wasn't one of the Heisman finalists. How? This dude is going to be an all-time great. This dude is going to win a Super Bowl. This dude is going to win an MVP. You just got to do the right things around him. And the Chargers' record, Max, ain't because of Justin Herbert. It's because of bad coaching, bad clock management. He's had some games. Maybe you look at Buffalo. You can look at New England and say, okay, he wasn't great. But he's still 21, 22 years old. This dude is going to be an all-time great.
Well, that's from another all-time great. Ryan Clark, if not on the gridiron, where he did win a Super Bowl and he was very, very good. Certainly when you add up the broadcasting, the whole thing. See, some people get into some Hall of Fames because they do this on the field and this off the field. Ryan Clark needed a little extra help to get that next level, and he's doing it with his broadcasting career. The great Ryan Clark, ladies and gentlemen. Ryan, never Lion Clark, Raj. Joined us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. I do think that as accomplished as he is, and many of the football guys that I talk to are, I do think that given my championship simulating Madden in 05, I did win a Super Bowl once, just in GM mode, you know, franchise mode. I didn't repeat, and it was, as I said, the computer was simulating against itself, the machine, you know. But nevertheless, I think that puts us on, I think everyone would agree, that puts me on equal footing with our football.
Yeah, and it's hard to repeat, man, even in Madden, because the guys aren't hungry the second year, man. So you did what you did, man. That's okay.
Right. I did what I did. Listen, I think we made the playoffs. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. With insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. New York. I'll tell you why the New York football Giants, are about to pull off the upset versus the Browns.
Max, the podcast.
Giants with a must win versus the Browns on Sunday Night Football. Can my G-men pull off the upset? Can my G-men pull off the upset? Well, here's the thing, guys. They have to if they want to make the playoffs. They got to go 2-1 and hope Washington goes 1-2. Now, the Giants' last game of the season is against the Cowboys, who are capable, like, Cowboys beat the Vikings this year. Cowboys can beat a team on the right night, on the right day, any given Sunday, right? And, by the way, the Browns' last game is against Pittsburgh. So both, you know, finish not only playing a divisional rival, but potentially a divisional rival that can keep them out of the playoffs. Now, it's unlikely the Browns would miss the playoffs, but were they to lose to the Giants and Pittsburgh and wind up with 10 wins, it's possible they wouldn't make the playoffs. But likely, they probably still would. What does that mean? It means they have less to play for. In addition, they're coming off an extremely emotional game against the Ravens. And now they have, like, the same thing that happens to the Ravens and the Steelers when they play each other, right? You want to be that team playing them the following week, like Washington played Pittsburgh. The Giants are getting the Browns off an emotional letdown game, even though they lost. If anything, it's a little bit demoralizing. But in addition, they cannot be getting as high up for the Giants as they did for the Ravens. How could they? Not a divisional rival, and they're probably going to be in the playoffs. Meantime, the Giants have the Browns, the Ravens, and the Cowboys. Now, they're going to have to win two out of those three. And Washington also is going to have to lose two out of their next three. And Washington has, who does Washington have? Seattle. A very tough game for them to win with Haskins. And they end, I want to say, with the Eagles, and I'm forgetting who they had in between. Raj, why don't you look that up? Look up their schedule while I'm doing radio. Washington's schedule, because I'm forgetting the middle game. Anyway, the point is this. It's possible, very possible, that the Washington loses two of their next three, because if they lose to Seattle, they just got to lose one of their next two. But the Giants are going to have to beat, obviously they have to beat the Cowboys. They're going to have to beat the Browns or the Ravens. Now, who do I give them the better chance to beat? I give them the better chance to beat the Browns because of the circumstances I just laid out. The Giants' defense could get after it. And I'll tell you something else. Playing Colt McCoy, and of course there's like Browns' former quarterback, Freddie Kitchens, is calling his plays now, right? Without Jason Garrett, because Garrett, the Giants, you know, formerly the Dallas Cowboys head coach, the Giants' offensive coordinator, has COVID. So Freddie Kitchens is being elevated to play caller for this game. Kitchens, the Browns' former head coach, and he was disastrous as the head coach, though good as the play caller for the Browns the previous season. Kitchens has Colt McCoy going against their old team. But it's not even just that storyline. It's that Colt McCoy came in the Bengals game. What happened in the Bengals game? Did they win or lose? They won. Colt McCoy then played Seattle and won. The Giants lost to Arizona, but who started that game? Arizona started the game against Arizona. Daniel Jones started the game against Arizona. And why did Arizona get him? Because Daniel Jones, without his wheels, is a sitting duck. The Giants have to start Colt McCoy, not just because you got to protect Daniel Jones, the franchise quarterback, going forward, but because Colt McCoy gives them a better chance to win. And look, if he throws for 150 yards, a touchdown and no interception, something like that, the Giants have a damn good chance to win the game. Giants have an excellent run defense. And by the way, if you believe Joe Judge is a good coach, you think he doesn't know they're going to zone block and, you know, run those backs to the outside, right? He knows that. If I know that, he knows that. Do you think a Belichick disciple maybe can scheme something up to help his team stop that, especially with an excellent run defense? I think so. Colt McCoy just has to not make mistakes, and the Giants can win another low-scoring game against the Browns. They can do it. Force Baker. Baker Mayfield looked very good. And if Baker Mayfield balls out and Colt McCoy is not good, or if Colt McCoy turns the ball over once and doesn't throw any touchdowns, something like that, has a negative touchdown-interception ratio, it's going to be really tough for the Giants to win. But I'm telling you, off an emotional loss, but still an emotional divisional rivalry game, with less to play for than the Giants. And don't forget, Browns on the road as the favorites, I smell an upset. Am I wishing it because I'm a Giants fan? You're damn right I'm wishing it because I'm a Giants fan. but I still smell an upset. And the football gods, it would be like, it's in their best interest, the football gods' interest, right? And while I'm not a religious man, when it comes to sports, I'm extremely religious because I know the sports gods exist, Raj. The football gods would love for the Giants to play the Cowboys and for the Browns to play the Steelers last week of the season, both with playoff implications. Damn right I'm rooting for that. But I honestly believe that that can happen. And if you know, you're forcing me to choose, I'm going to say the Giants are going to upset the Browns. This is a trap game for the Browns. And don't let the way the Giants looked against Arizona fool you. They were surging before that game. A legless Daniel Jones is a sitting duck. But Colt McCoy, under center for that Giants team, has shown you he can beat a good team. Giants in the upset. One of the Ball brothers, by the way, that'd be a problem for the NBA. Well, I just kind of answered the question. But no doubts coming up next.
Max, the podcast.
Jerry West. You hear this? Jerry West, he's kind of implicated, they say, in tampering. That's how he got Kawhi Leonard. Tampering! People are complaining. The dumbest rule ever. You can't talk to another team. How are you going to enforce tampering? This ridiculous with these investigations into Jerry West. Let me tell you what Jerry West is going to do. What he did his whole career. He's going to get the job done. Everyone else is going to cry about it. And by the way, I am not typically one who would say, oh, who cares about the rules? But this rule is not only idiotic, it's unenforceable. And no one seems to take it seriously in front offices. And the ones who do are nerds. That's the bottom line. You can cross now. There are no cars coming, but the light's green. Sorry, the light's red. Yeah, but there's no car for a mile. I got to stand here and wait until the light turns green. You can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE5W30.
All right. Check this out, Max. Okay. I don't know if you're watching, but I'm watching my boy. Yo, 18 points. Four more three-pointers, fresh passes all over the court. LaMelo Ball is about to be a problem for the NBA.
No doubt. He's about to be a problem, and the extent of the problem will depend upon how that broken shot actually works. Is that can he repeat that and hit shots from the outside? Because if he can, he's a problem. He looks like a basketball genius, you know, like a savant, the way he sees the floor. And but like if you can't shoot, your upside is limited in the NBA. Like even think about Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons does every single thing you want a player to do. But because he can't shoot, his team might not win a championship. Because he can't shoot, he's not an MVP caliber player. Only the shot. And so the question with all those Ball brothers is that shot going to fall consistently the way they shoot it?
All right. Hey, check it out. One of my faves, Brad Pitt. Turns 57 years old today. Yo, Max.
Damn, he's 57. Brad Pitt. Yeah.
57, yeah. Brad Pitt is the best-looking 57-year-old man you've ever seen. Ever.
Here's the thing.
Look up on your screen. They're going to show you right now.
Here's the thing. Well, I don't know. I'm only 47. When I'm 57, I would have to say, nah, son, because that would be me, Raj.
I don't know.
By the way, I know how this sounds when guys say this. It is very hard for me to judge. There are some dudes you see, you're like, all right, I could see that dude's good. I didn't know even Brad Pitt was good looking until I was told when I was a teenager.
Are you blind or something?
I guess. Right. I don't know. I guess I don't know if he's the handsomest 57-year-old.
Well, let's ask the guy. That's the guy. Bubba, what you think? What you think, Bubba? The best 57-year-old man you ever seen?
Yeah, I'm going to have to say yes on that one.
All right.
How about you, Raj?
Snatch. Have you seen the movie Snatch, Max?
I haven't seen Snatch.
No,
how
no
about
one's
you,
seen
Raj?
The movie. What's going on?
No, apparently Bubba's the only person that's seen that movie. That's the whole room. Everyone says no. Yeah, I think he's phenomenal. And then when I saw he was 57 today, I said, man, we got to put you on, no doubt.
But,
man.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, I was I'm surprised you say 57 because I saw him in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And that dude is 57?
That's what I'm
saying. He's in good shape for a 57-year-old, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. No doubt. Hey, check it out. Charles Barkley drops a stop acting like you're the smartest person in the world on Kyrie.
Yeah, and?
So I'm saying you agree with that? Like,
no or doubt. No... Not only, I mean, Kyrie, here's the thing about Kyrie. Kyrie might be the best show in the NBA. I'm not saying he's the most effective player, but I don't know if I like watching anyone more than Kyrie. Every time he opens his mouth, he sounds so insecure about his own intelligence. And yet he'll tell you how intelligent he is. But he leaves it. I guess the evidence is in his game and in the projects he's chosen outside the NBA, right? Like, apparently, I didn't see the movie he made, but I heard it was good. And the quality. And so that says something about the way he makes decisions. But every time he opens his mouth or issues a written statement, I think, Kyrie, I want to like you, but it is impossible to make sense of your ramblings. Like, he's inarticulate, you know? And by the way, he questioned whether the earth is round. That is almost the definition of, like, you know, that's the litmus test for intelligence, I would say.
Put it this way.
In the 20th century, let alone the 21st. Do you think earth is flat or round? Because the dumb people will say maybe it's not round, and only the dumb people. Yes.
No. All right, check it out. Round.
No. Wait. I'm just curious. Are we now in a place where it's not PC to say if you think the world is flat, you're stupid?
Oh, I didn't say anything.
Say that definitively. If you think the world is not round, you're an idiot, right? Like, every single person who thinks the world's not round. Yeah.
You ever go sailing? You don't know. You ain't never going to sail it. Hey, Rams. The Rams are holding out hope.
It cuts to a shot of me holding, falling off the end of the earth, holding on, right?
I forget it. You didn't mess it all up.
All right. I don't know. Sean Payton going with Breeze. Is it the right choice?